Greetings to each of you this morning. I want to say amen to the thought that we serve a good God, a God that has an interest in us, that cares about us. The message this morning, I'm going to talk about, my title is, Which Way Shall I Take? And sometimes, when we ponder this question, we're in the middle of a life that looks like this, a maze. It looks like we're in the center, and there's so much happening around us, and we don't know how to get out. Which way shall I take? And we're going to take some help from some of the children this morning. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 28. We're looking at three accounts this morning. And for the benefit of you who might be taking notes, I have my notes listed out in 12 points, but really it's a repeat of 3 points out of three different accounts plus practical. So it might work just to take 3 points down and let room for three more columns. 1 Samuel 28, we're going to read verses 1 to 20. Reads like this, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare, to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her, and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards, out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets, nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. We look at this passage. First thing I want to see is Saul's maze. And as we look at that point, I want to take two volunteers from the children to try to complete this maze. Who wants to try it? We'll give you a couple of minutes. Brendan, you want to try one? Okay. Who wants to try it? Who else wants to try it? Okay. Douglas. There's no gimmicks to it, but it is a fairly complex maze. Okay, Saul's maze. What was the maze that Saul saw around him? It was a Philistine army, right? He saw the Philistine army. And in his mind, he was already caught. He was already captured. The Philistine army for him was a set of fearful circumstances. Just bringing down to today's application. Verse 4, they had pitched in Shunem, and all Israel had pitched in Gilboa. Verse 5, when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. There was a lot of them. He had pitched his soldiers in array, getting ready. But when he saw what he was up against, he was afraid. The other thing I see here in verse 4, was Saul was a man with great responsibility. He had a people to lead. He had people that were looking to him that he needed to. There's erasers here if you need them. You can come get them if you want them. He had people that were counting on him to help him through, help them through. Third subpoint, which made the complexity of this so much greater, was that we find in verse 6. It says, Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not. God would not speak to Saul. So Saul's maze was just being wrapped around him. It was there. It was unconquerable, humanly speaking. The second point we want to look at, the second main point, is Saul's guidance. Verse 3, it introduces the fact that Samuel was now dead. Looking at this and what Saul did later in the chapter, Samuel was Saul's guide. I think he was almost Saul's God. Because when Samuel was out of the picture, Saul did not have guidance. So, verse 7 comes to our second subpoint. Saul looked for Samuel in body. He wasn't there, so he looked for the familiar spirits. He looked for the spirit world to help him. Verse 7, he says, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. So when Samuel died, Saul went to the powers of Satan to try to get guidance. And the third main point is Saul's reward. Verse 6, kind of touching on what we said a little bit before, but the Lord answered him not. Quite a reward. But God did not answer Saul. And as we go on through the passage, it didn't stop there. Verse 16 says, the Lord has departed from thee. So God didn't answer Saul. God left Saul. And it goes on beyond that. It says, he has become thine enemy. So third subpoint, God was actually now an enemy to Saul. And then, what was the result of all this? Verse 19, the Lord will deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. Saul and his people were destroyed. To hear somebody from the dead speaking what Samuel said here, tomorrow thou and thy sons shall be with me, that had to strike real fear into the heart of Saul. Tomorrow, you're going to be dead with me. Okay, bring your papers front. I want to see how far you got. Did you just erase it all? Okay, that's fine. Let your pencils here. We'll look at them later. Okay. Thank you. Now I need two more volunteers as we look at David's maze. Who else wants to do some of these papers? Okay, Lorinda, you can come up. Anybody else? Okay, Rendell. Okay, why don't you sit in the front, do the one. Here, let's give you an eraser too. And Rendell, go back to your seat and do that one. Take that eraser with you. David's maze. And we're going to take this from 2 Samuel 5, verses 17 to 25. This is actually not that much longer in time. Second Samuel 5, verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me, as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Okay, what was David's maze? It was a Philistine army. The very same thing Saul was up against, David was up against. A set of circumstances I probably looked very fearful. See that in verse 17 and 18. And then as we look at verse 17 some more. David was anointed king over Israel. David was a man of great responsibility. He had people to lead. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Now, as we look at verses 19, 23, and 24, we come up with a third subpoint. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said unto David. Verse 23, David inquired of the Lord. He said. Verse 24, the Lord shall go out before thee. So here we have, in David's maze, a God who spoke to him. A God who assured him. A God who encouraged him. Next main point is David's guidance. And verse 19, actually the same three verses. David inquired of the Lord. Verse 23, David inquired of the Lord. David's guidance came from a personal relationship with the Lord. He had a relationship there that took him to God. No small wonder that he's called a man after God's own heart. We have that referred to in the scriptures, a man after God's own heart. He had a relationship. Verses 20 and 25, we see David's reward. Verse 20, and David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. There was victory. David said, the Lord just came out upon them like, when I think of the breach of waters, I think the waves in a sea. It just came rolling in upon them and crashed them down. David had victory. And as we go on, verse 25, the Lord did as the Lord had commanded and smote the Philistines from Geba until I come to Gezer. Again, we see victory. Another battle, another victory. For David, it wasn't a thing of chance. He knew before he started what the outcome was going to be, because God had told him. Okay, I'll take those two mazes. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else want to try some? We can do two more if you want to. Okay. If not, we'll keep moving. We're looking at another account of David. 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 10. It actually follows right on. We're just going to read those verses. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baali of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perezah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Okay, we have another account. Same man, not much different time period. Another maze. And this maze is an ark of God that needs to be moved. Just a little backdrop on the story. The ark had been taken into battle. It was stolen by the Philistines. And this was all before David was king. And it made trouble for the Philistines, so they sent it back into Israel on a cart behind oxen. Or calves, actually. I think it would have been smaller animals. So this ark is sitting on the borders of Israel, not in the capital, not in a house of God. It needs to be moved. So David gave this some thought. And he came up with a plan. He said, "I know how we can do this." He said, "If we give it our best, a new cart, a good pair of oxen, we can move this thing. We can bring it where it belongs." What was David's guidance? Common sense. That was perfectly common sense to put that ark of God on a new cart behind trained oxen. That was David's guidance. Common sense. What was David's reward? Verse 7. Verses 6 and 7. The oxen stumbled. They shook it somehow. And Uzzah reached out to protect that ark, and he was killed for it. Uzzah was killed. Okay. Verse 9. And David was afraid of the Lord. What a reward. David was afraid of the Lord. This was not respect. This was terror. What is God doing to us? What is happening? He feared the Lord. And I'm glad the story doesn't end there, but that is where we're going to break on that account for this morning. But you see the contrast between David, welcome, and Saul. Between the two accounts of David and Saul. And I want to show you something here. You probably can't see it real well. One of these mazes is complete, and the other one is not. What's the difference? What made the difference? The brain? Where is it? What made the difference? There was marks on the one. There was marks at every intersection on the one.
There was guidance. There was a path to follow. And that's what we were witnessing here on the account of David. On the first account of David. When he came to questions in life, he asked of God, and God gave him an answer. Was that the last question? No, that was not the last question. But he came to the next one, and he asked of God, and God gave him an answer. So just a recap of the points that we did real quick. Which way shall I take? Everyone's got a maze. They have a puzzle in life that they need to sort out. Everyone uses some form of guidance, whether it be studious men of the Bible, as in the case of Samuel, whether it be spirits from the demon world, in the case of Saul, whether it be asking of God, whether it be common sense. And everyone has some kind of reward, some kind of outcome. In the case of Saul, in the one account of David, it was destruction. In the other account of David, it was victory. It was blessing. Okay, let's bring this home to us. We're going to go through these 3 points again, trying to bring it practical. Our maze, lessons about our guidance, and the reward. What is your maze today? I cannot say. What is my maze today? I could tell you, but I won't. But each of you has a maze. Each of you has things in life that are surrounding you, that are looking confusing, that many times look like it's a long way out of here. You can fill in the blanks. Sometimes for teenagers, it's parents that they don't feel like understand the 21st century. Sometimes for parents, it's a challenge with children. Why can't they see? Why can't they learn that you do this, this will happen? Sometimes it's relationships. Somebody you were good friends with seems to be giving you a cold shoulder. And the list could go on. But each one of us has a maze that we are struggling with. Maybe finances. We need to do this, but where in the world is the money? We have to do this. We have to come up with the next mortgage payment, the next rent payment. But where's the money? Each of us has a maze. Each of us has a guidance system. I'd like to talk about this a little bit more. As we look at these 3 accounts, God directed those who obeyed him. It was no mistake that the Lord did not speak to Saul, and he did to David when David asked. Saul asked, God did not speak to him. David asked, God spoke to him. David didn't always remember to ask, but when David asked, God spoke to him. It was because Saul had deliberately chosen to disobey God. David was deliberately choosing to obey God. We can look at the years of David's life before this as he was running from Saul. Time and again, he asked God. This wasn't the first time he did it. It was his practice. It was the way he lived. Number 2, God directs those who seek his guidance. And that is the difference between the last 2 accounts of David. If we don't seek God's guidance, God is not going to force barricades in front of us to make us go the right way. Yes, many times he will stick things there to remind us that you did not ask my guidance. But he will not throw barricades in front of us. Walking to church this morning, we were coming down the road, came to the intersection in Westchester. They were working on the tracks, and they had barricades, pedestrian barricades, no walking under the tracks for a good little distance. God doesn't work that way. We walked up along the barricades one way and said, no, that's not going to work. We turned around, we went back the other way, and sure enough, that time we soon came to the end. But that's not the way God does. God will give us a reminder if we forget to ask. And incidentally, I forgot to ask, because I was getting alerts that the BX-17 bus, which runs right past our house, is detouring around the Westchester intersection. So it's not like I didn't have a reminder. But I chose to ignore that. I forgot about that. And I had to pay the penalty. Third subpoint here, God does speak. If you ask, God has an answer. And I want to show you something here in 1 Samuel 28. I should have put a marker in here. We're going to flip back and forth here a little bit. 1 Samuel 28. And Saul, verse 6, when he inquired of the Lord, says he did not answer by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And I wanted to look this up, and I forgot to do it. But Urim and Thummim are basically a yes or no method of getting God's answer to something. It's intriguing to me that Saul says God did not answer him by Urim. And I don't know which is which for sure. My suspicion is that Urim is a positive. That God did not give him a yes. Many times in life, we say, God did not answer me. I asked God if I should do this, and God did not answer me. Oftentimes, we would be more correct in stating that God did not tell me yes. Maybe God did answer. Maybe told you no, and that's not what you wanted to hear. We need to prepare our hearts if we really want to hear what God speaks. Fourth subpoint under this is God is the one we want to be our guide. When it came right down to it here, Saul wanted guidance. He really wanted Samuel to tell him, as he had many times before, that you just go out. God's going to defeat the host for you. But I don't think he wanted to hear that God has departed from you. This is going to be defeat for you. I don't think he wanted to hear that. Now, looking a little bit under this point of how God guides, it was interesting to me, again here in chapter 28, verse 6, and it appears again later. Saul tried three different things. He looked for dreams. He looked for an answer in Urim and Thummim and the prophets. Today, I think God uses similar tools. First of all, we need to look at what God has already told us right here. Did God give an answer to your dilemma right here? Is what you're contemplating a matter of right and wrong? Then look no further for an answer than right here, because that answer will be here. Sometimes it's not quite that simple. Sometimes we're looking at our maze. I used an example of financial difficulty. God, this rent payment is coming up. What shall we do about it? My next point is, as we come forward here and look at David in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 19, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" David was specific with his question. David did not just come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I have a problem, what shall I do?" He was specific with his question. He said, "God, I'm thinking I'm supposed to go up. Is this right? Are you going to deliver them to me?" God came back and said, "Yes." Sometimes we look at our maze. We look at all those intersections. And we say, "God, what shall I do?" God wants us to come to him and ask him. Ask him about things that he's brought to our mind. Is this what you're asking me to do? Is this what you're asking me to do? Is this what you're asking me to do? Looking a little more specifically at God's various methods of speaking. We touched a little bit on the Urim and Thummim. Yes and no. Many times that's the clearest answer for us. If it's not a right or wrong answer spelled out in here, a yes or a no. I'll give you just one personal example. This goes back to the days when I was contemplating courtship. And I was a confirmed bachelor, you might say. I was older. But I felt this prompting in my heart that maybe God was asking me something different. And I finally came to God, and I said, "God, I think this is what you're telling me. I think you're asking me to start a courtship with Becky. But I'm still unsure. I'm scared. I'm a little fearful. I want to know that this is what you want." At the time, I was really struggling with health. I said, "God, show me an improvement in my health." And you know, next week, I had that drastic change in health. God answered. And I could not doubt it. It was yes. And he has led. I think there is a right way to ask God a yes and no question. I want to be careful not to encourage us to tempt God. But when we've done what's in our power, it's right to ask God a yes or no question. Is this what you want? If it is, show me like this. You know, God has done that for us numerous times. The other thing we witness here is by prophets. And I see here counsel of people that are walking with God. Saul was looking for counsel. And I got to keep moving. The other one here, we have by dreams. And I don't put a lot of stock in when you go to bed at night and dream a dream, that this is what God is asking of you. The reason I don't is God gave us his spirit. God gave us his spirit to give that internal guidance. So I would like to say that sometimes that direction is just a confirmation that God gives within you by his spirit. Okay. What's the reward? Looking at these two mazes again, Yeah, I'm not sure what I did with them here. Here we go. When these mazes were being worked on, who had the confidence when they started out that this was going to end up right? Who had just the satisfaction of knowing as they put their pencil down that this thing's going to finish out? It was the one with guidance. There's peace. There's satisfaction. And who had the joy of coming out to the finish line at the end and having victory? The one with guidance. Now that's the rewards God gives us today. He gives us peace. He gives us victory. Which way shall I take? There's one way God wants you to take. And He wants to show you that way. And as we take that, there will be peace and there will be victory. Okay, let's kneel for prayer.